The God Mode Unlocked. Myself, Brian Reynolds, and Matt Bronson are here to discuss the latest news and give you some deals for the week and some latest releases in gaming. So let's dive right in.
Let's start.
Episode 1, Ground Zero.
Let's start with the Rainbow Six Siege slur ban. It's been a hot topic amongst streamers and gamers, and you're a big Rainbow Six fan. So
absolutely.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's definitely needed. I think they need, you know, I really think they need something more than this. You know, I don't think it's slurs. You know, nobody really uses their mics anymore.
That's true.
So this, you know, I wonder if this is more
aimed at the streamers.
Yeah, I wonder if this is more for, you know, publicity, for good publicity. Because the real problem is just the way people act in that game.
Yeah, I mean, gaming has a toxicity problem.
Oh, absolutely. And that game especially. You know, like, there's times where I wonder, like, is there certain characters that, like, the hardcore crowd do not like? Because there are times where I get in the game, and the first thing that happens is, like, everyone on the team starts team killing me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, is it my character? You know, because obviously I didn't have a mic. I didn't do anything. You know, and it's something that just happens.
Overwatch, you know, has that too. Like, there's certain, because there's, like, I think there's 28 heroes in Overwatch now. And when you insta-lock a certain hero, it's like everybody is immediately pissed at you because, you know, there's certain, yeah, you don't go there. Like,
yeah,
Hanzo and Genji, yeah, like, they're like solo players who don't play as a team usually. And yeah, Hanzo's really good right now, actually.
And it's just, you know, it's really unfortunate because they did end up, when the game first launched, you could team kill as many people as you wanted, really.
Yeah.
So, and then obviously they moved to curb that because, you know, some people just join the games and kill their whole team and, you know, ruin every single match. So they had to move, and you know, then it became, if you kill more than two people, I think, in a single match, they boot you out of the game.
I don't know. I mean, the internet has toxicity problems in general. It's not just a gaming problem. It's the whole anonymous identity online problem.
Yeah.
And I don't know, really. I mean, I think instant bans like that, I think Rainbow Six's first ban is like, it's only like half an hour.
Yeah.
But I think it's enough to like make people stop and think for a second, like, I really wanted to play, you know, and now I can't play. It's going to make you mad.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
I think it's a good thing. I know some people are upset about it because, you know, they think they have the freedom of speech and stuff, and they do. But at the same time, these developers are providing a platform for people, and Twitch is providing a platform for
people.
And if you got to abide by their rules. And
absolutely.
If you don't, that's like, well, yeah, get out of the ring.
You know, it just seems like an obvious thing. Like,
yeah.
You know, it probably should have been there from the beginning. I don't know why it wasn't. It just seems really obvious to do this, though.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I wonder if it's really kind of for publicity, because it's, you know, it just seems like common sense.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Xbox, I think Xbox at the Xbox level doesn't allow slurs.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you could get reported.
Well, I think the difference,
you can get reported to Microsoft.
The difference is that because it's text based on PC, it's instantaneous. So
yeah,
once you type, you know, your slur or your racist,
yeah,
or whatever, you're kicked immediately.
Yeah, that's true. I'm coming at it from the Xbox.
Whereas before, on other games and stuff, there's like a whole investigation.
Yeah,
so they use it, and it takes weeks and weeks and weeks to like verify the audio.
Yeah.
Whereas this is like, you get kicked out.
Yeah, you're right. It could be a bigger problem on PC. I haven't played it on PC.
Yeah, I haven't either.
But, you know, with keyboard and mouse coming to Xbox, you know, it could eventually
become,
you know, so maybe it is a good thing that,
maybe we'll see more stuff like that more, because as gaming continues to grow and be more inclusive of, because, you know, when you and I were growing up, it was like, it still is heavily skewed to young males, but it's expanded
absolutely
a lot, and it's going to continue to expand. And as more people come into it, casual gamers especially, more and more, you know, parents pay more and more attention to what their kids are doing, hopefully.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be more parental, or more supervision from the top, from developers, for what their community is feeding people.
Yeah.
Anything else on Rainbow Six?
I think that about covers it. I guess we can move on to the Black Ops 4.
Yeah.
Beta.
So, so call it the, they're doing two Call of Duty 4 or Call of Duty Black Ops 4 betas. They're doing one standard beta in August, I think, and one beta for their Battle Royale in September. And for me, I haven't played Call of Duty, I think, since Modern Warfare 3. It's obviously super popular still. Yeah. I don't think it's as popular as it was.
Yeah, let me tell you what the last Call of Duty I played was.
Was it in World War II?
Call of Duty 2, yeah. No, that's not true. I did play a little bit of Call of Duty 3 when it came out.
That was still World War II, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Modern Warfare was good.
Yeah. Was it World at War?
Yeah. I think so.
Was that the third one?
I think so.
Or was that the fourth one? I can't remember now.
The fourth one was Modern Warfare, I'm positive.
Are you sure?
Yeah, positive.
Didn't Treyarch?
World at War might have been one of those offshoots that they
Because
did
when after. they first broke it up between Treyarch and Infinity Ward,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure they both made a World War II game before they moved on.
I'm positive that 4 was Modern Warfare. I'm 100% positive. Maybe World of War didn't even have a number on it.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I don't think it did.
Because like Black Ops didn't have a number.
So maybe they made the first Modern Warfare, and then they released
World of War. There's our first corrections corner.
Yeah, we're going to have to look that one up.
For me, I'm actually considering buying Black Ops 4 for like the first Call of Duty I've played in a decade, because I'm just a huge Battle Royale fan. And
yeah, you know, I gotta say that first trailer they had, it did pique my interest. Yeah. And obviously, I haven't been a fan of the series much ever. Yeah, except for the first two.
When it originally came out, those were great games. Like the first Call of Duty, like the AI. I remember the AI at the time was really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah, this was the first one definitely that made me think, you know, maybe I need to play this. Maybe I need to give it a try.
For me, it's basically solely for the Battle Royale aspect. But I think the one thing that Call of Duty has over everybody is it's still like the smoothest game around. Like it runs really high FPS, yeah. And there's like no input lag. It's just really, from a gameplay perspective, it's super polished. Whereas a lot of the Battle Royales that I'm playing now and I love, they're just really janky, and you know, PUBG is like an optimization mess, even on PC where it's already been out ever. So I'm looking forward to trying it. I think I'm glad they're doing a beta for that reason, because it allows somebody like me who maybe used to play but isn't so much into the Call of Duty
stuff.
You know,
I do wonder if they're really hanging their hat on this Battle Royale.
I don't know.
And they're hoping that it'll, you know, carry the game.
Reinvigorate the series.
Yeah, carry the game for quite a long time going forward, because I gotta tell you, the last the reviews and the opinions of the last few games, yeah, especially on the single player front, have been
The microtransactions
pretty desperate.
Everybody hates the microtransactions, and then Black Ops 4 doesn't even have a single player. Yeah. It's just a whole other new area of controversy.
It's kind of funny, isn't it? I mean, Call of Duty is the game, the series that sort of displaced Halo on the console. You know, I mean, I don't think Halo is the biggest shooter on the consoles anymore. I think it's probably Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny that they're both sort of in the same predicament now, where like their single player games have just crashed out pretty much, and they both need to hit reset now. Yeah. Halo looks like it's sorted itself out, maybe.
We'll have to see.
Yeah, maybe.
Hundreds of hours of speculation on that game already.
We'll have to see. I mean, Call of Duty, you know, I think that's getting a little off topic, but I think it's a trend that we're probably going to see across the entire.
I don't see it. Like, some people are really upset it doesn't have a campaign, and if you like the campaigns, I understand, but really what they're doing is they're just playing to their strengths. Yeah. They know that, like, probably like 80% of their base really doesn't care about the single player.
Yeah.
And so they've got the traditional multiplayer, they've got the Battle Royale, and they've got zombies, which is also the co-op shooter thing. People love the zombies.
Now, could you see them?
That's okay.
You know, this will be Battle Royale multiplayer only, right?
Well, there is a normal multiplayer. There's still like the classic Call of Duty.
Is there zombies in this one?
Yeah.
Oh, there is zombies.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a zombie mode.
See, I thought maybe they'd split them up, you know, have single player and zombies in one game, and then maybe Battle Royale and, you know, regular multiplayer.
Activision, maybe they would, but no, yeah. I think because that they took the single player out, they had to do, because normally the big normal Call of Duties, they don't, I think the zombies were only developed by one developer and the other developer skips them, but they added it all in the same.
It really makes me wonder when or if we'll ever see single player in Call of Duty again.
I think it probably will at some point, but
if this works, I mean, what incentive do they really have to spend the extra cash?
It's a lot of money
when it's, you know, it's sort of the weak point in the series, and obviously people want to be buying the game for more for the multiplayer than for the single player. So why spend the extra money? So this will definitely be interesting. You know, it's something that the internet's been a buzz about.
Yeah,
is the death of single player games.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, maybe this is it. Here it is.
Yeah,
you know, one of the bigger ones.
So just something really quick as we talk about gaming in general. I don't know. You follow PUBG a little bit, at least.
Yeah.
Do you know who Shroud is?
No.
Okay, so Shroud is like,
I assume he's a major streamer, though?
Yeah, he's like him and Dr. Disrespect are the biggest PUBG streamers.
What about Ninja?
Ninja's Fortnite.
Oh, he's Fortnite, that's right.
So Shroud used to be a Counter-Strike pro, and then he retired, and he started playing PUBG. So he's like one of their biggest faces, and Bluehole banned Shroud for a whole month from the game because a hacker pulled up in a flying car.
That's a lot of money for them.
But yeah, that's what I mean.
That's a lot of money.
The streamers are like the main advertisement of games now. It's not like commercials or Game Informer.
That's a pretty big deal.
It's the streamers. So like a hacker pulled up in a flying car, and he was like, hey, Shroud. Like, they knew it was Shroud. They don't get in, whatever. So Shroud got in, and then they banned Shroud for a month for getting in this hacker's car. And
I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, that's what I like. It's a pretty bold move on the point of the developer to, I could see maybe what, like a day or something.
Was it at least a nice flying car?
That Dacia,
you know, it's funny. You know what's funny is that, you know, a little off topic.
Dacia is not very nice.
I did see a pretty cool, you know, I think most of those flying cars are trash, but I did see one earlier today that was actually pretty interesting. But
made by Musk?
No. That's I don't know. I think that's pretty unfair, really. How can they do that to him? Just being associated with a known cheater?
I think it hurts themselves more than it hurts him.
I do,
because he's got an audience, and they're going to watch him no matter what.
And that's kind of an odd decision to make.
I know hacking is a serious problem, and they want people to know they take it seriously, but same time, that's a long...
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's sort of like if a baseball player hopped in the car with Barry Bonds, you know, right after they discovered that he was juicing, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I don't think they would punish.
But you didn't take the juice yourself.
Yeah, exactly. They never caught you taking the juice.
Well, I mean, he was in the flying car taking shots out the window.
But I mean, it is, you know, maybe it was that too. Maybe that was a contributing factor. But, you know, I mean, it's just,
either he didn't initiate the hacking himself. If you or I had seen this hacker and gotten in a car with him, it probably would have been something we did just for fun. Like, oh, look at this, ha, ha, ha. We probably wouldn't have got banned.
Yeah.
But because he's such a well-known personality, he got made an example of it.
And I think I think it's kind of odd that they didn't look at sports and what they do in similar situations. Because, you know, I mean, like the example I just gave with Barry Bonds, I mean, you know, other players were hopping in the car with him. And, and they don't punish them. So I don't... You know, maybe there's more to the story. I don't have all the details.
Yeah, I didn't
here.
Watch the footage. I just saw the headline.
But if it was purely just for hopping in the car, you know, that seems a little extreme.
Yeah.
I hope it was a nice car. I hope it was a fun ride.
There's no nice cars.
Yeah, because that was a very expensive ride.
All right. I just want to talk about the Overwatch League playoffs this week. I know you're not an Overwatch guy.
No.
But
not at all.
I play a ton of Overwatch. I like Overwatch. But I think Overwatch League itself has been really interesting to watch because esports have been blowing up. And now that they're in the playoffs, I first of all, I think Overwatch did two really cool things. One thing with their playoffs, I think they did this better than regular sports, honest to God. They did four quarters and throughout the season. I forget what they call them, stages. Four stages.
Yeah.
And you know how, like, in a lot of sports, there's a lot of teams that just, like, mail it in for the regular season because, you know, they're just going to make the playoffs and they don't need to play. You know, they just go out.
So they have a system.
Yeah, so Overwatch,
that, or?
Yeah, Overwatch League has four stages and every stage has a champion. They have, like, a mini playoff. So, and if you win that stage's championship, your team gets a ton of money, like $50,000 or $100,000.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
idea. So it makes playing during the regular season, like, actually worth it.
Yeah.
So that, I think, was awesome. And then, but now that they're in the playoffs, they took, like, a weird, like, I think it was, like, three-week break after the fourth stage before they started the playoff.
Yeah.
And I think they kind of lost some steam because, like, everybody was watching so much, so regularly, and then there was nothing for 3 weeks. And I think that was a mistake, but... the one thing I think is really interesting about Overwatch League as it relates to esports is the Overwatch League playoffs are literally on ESPN 1.
I was going to say, they made a new contract,
huge
right?
deal with Disney. Yeah. And it's like, to me, that is such a sign that...
they're on the mothership now.
Yeah, esports is like, we knew it was like coming to prominence and it was a big deal, but like this is like...
this might be that watershed moment where like they go, you know, this is when it... happened. You know, I think, on a similar note, I would say, what was it, Street Fighter V, you know, I used to flip through the channels. I used to see that on TBS or TNT. I thought that was pretty important. Because, you know, I mean, growing up, I don't remember ever seeing, like, you know, and they did have championships. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't esports, you know, like esports is a brand, really.
Yeah,
you know?
Like the Pac-Man.
Yeah, it's sort of like it's sort of like an umbrella brand for all of gaming now to sort of cash in.
Yeah.
You know, to sort of lend it legitimacy. Because before they used to just have like individual championships. Yeah. And you know, there was for any old game like Mario or anything really, any popular game. And, but yeah, that was never on TV growing up, and here we are now, and now you can flip through the channels and see Street Fighter or, you know, play at a really high level, and I do think that's, you know, that's a really interesting and good development for our hobby.
One thing, I didn't plan on talking about this, but I actually had a meeting with Binghamton University this week about trying to get them to start an esports program, and it just totally relates to what we're talking about. They've been looking at starting an esports program because collegiate esports are actually like a budding thing right now.
Oh, and you want to be on the ground floor.
I mean, and that's we met with their deputy athletic director about it for an hour. And what the colleges are struggling with, they've been looking at it for like 2 years already. And they said what they're struggling with is there's no, like, you know, in basketball or football or whatever, you have the NCAA that
there's
lays
no
out the rule. They lay out the rule set. This is what you do. This is, we'll make your schedule. You know, all that stuff.
So there's no
they see the
support.
Opportunity, but they, well, it's just like murky waters for them. Because it's not just like, you know, when you're in the ACC or whatever, you know, okay, I'm in the ACC and the league runs itself.
Yeah.
I just got to run my team.
Yeah.
There's, because the games are so individualized, the colleges are looking at it like, well, how do we get in? It's not just like, okay, we joined esports.
That's a good
league.
That's an interesting I never even considered
the NCAA, I found out, is actually looking to
expanding.
Roll out a rule set.
Of course.
There's just so much money there.
Exactly. Of course they are.
It was an interesting meeting.
Yeah, I mean, since there's money there, you know, and the end if you know, money, NCAA, one and the same.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm not surprised by that. I'm a little surprised it hasn't happened earlier, really.
Well, so a lot of colleges do have them, and I think they're going to be the ones that, you know, it's going to pay dividends for them down the road because they're going to have a program. So when the NCAA rolls out their rules and stuff and it becomes like a prominent thing, these private schools that started up their own program are already established. They've already got, you know, everything in place. So now we just have some of the highlights in this week's releases. So games that just came out this past week, and I don't know if either of us are playing any of them, but or what we've seen of them. The Culling 2 came out. I don't know if you even know what The Culling is.
No.
So
I heard it wasn't that good though.
No, it's not. So The Culling.
So save
out.
Your money. Don't buy The Culling.
The Culling is a battle royale that came out around the same time, like when PUBG and Fortnite first started to come out.
Yeah.
But it was like a more like brutal approach, like melee weapons and stuff. And instead of building upon that, they released a sequel.
Uh-huh.
And it just backfired severely. It's just like a broken game with that, from what I've seen. I haven't played it, but like everybody on Twitch and stuff just tearing it apart, saying avoid it like crazy. Earthfall, I don't know if you know what Earthfall is. Earthfall is like a Left 4 Dead clone, but with aliens.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I thought it looked really good. I was interested in playing it, but it came out on the reviews really weren't good. No, they kept calling it Left 4 Dead, but worse.
Well, you know, it's funny. What just... Xbox Game Pass, they just added that
Vermintide 2,
which is, I hear, compared to Left 4 Dead all the time. And they say that is pretty good.
So. Yeah.
So if you're looking for a game like that, you know, $9.99.
I don't know why that genre hasn't taken off more, because Left 4 Dead and Left 4 2 are awesome. I don't know why Valve
just let the game die.
You and I played it.
It was really popular. I don't understand why they just...
I just can't believe more people haven't jumped into just that genre. Because there's a clear formula that's easy to... I shouldn't say easy. I'm not a developer.
Valve did cut ties with
Turtle Rock.
So that's probably a big reason why there hasn't been a new one of those.
But I'm just shocked that more developers haven't taken that formula and just rolled out. Like, this Earthfall game is trying to do that. I'm surprised. Yeah. Like, I look at somebody like Blizzard who has, like, StarCraft. You could easily make a Left 4 Dead clone with the Zerg from StarCraft where you're... You know, your four space marines, you have to survive against the Zerg, you know, or a Halo with the Flood even. I don't think Microsoft would ever do that, but you could see it easily happening. Absolutely. I don't know why more developers haven't done it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know either. I mean...
Sad that Earthfall apparently didn't make
it. Usually when a big game releases, you know, you see everybody and their brother hop on the train. You know, I mean, and for a while there, it was about... 4v1 or whatever. And then Battle Royale came along and, you know, everybody hopped on that train. And it just seems like no one really hopped on the Left 4 Dead train, really. And that's weird because it was a really popular game.
I think they sold like 40, 50 million copies of the franchise.
I mean, obviously, like, you know, we were just saying Vermintide and, you know, this game, obviously. But,
yeah.
You know, not that much from the big boys. And usually you expect a little more from the big guys.
So the Realm Royale Battle Pass came out. Realm Royale is the new... It's made by Hi-Rez Studios, who made that Paladins game. And I think they made Smite before that. Did you play Smite?
I own Smite. I've never played it.
Didn't play it?
I've never played it.
They're kind of a developer that takes something that's...
I think it was just an Xbox Games with Gold game.
Might be. I think it's free to play anyway. I think they gave away some in-game currency on Games with Gold.
I haven't played it yet, but it's there.
Hi-Rez is a developer that basically takes something, like, they kind of almost like just clone what's popular. Like, Paladins is literally an Overwatch clone.
Yeah.
Realm Royale... They at least did their own thing. It's a battle royale, but they took Fortnite. They stole its cartoony style, but they stuck it in like a medieval universe a little bit. So there's like swords you can use, and like there's like a crafting system where you can craft like swords or bows, and you can pick up like knight's armor.
Yeah,
it's actually pretty good. I have played it. It's pretty decent. It's kind of carving out a little bit of its own thing. And they just released the Battle Pass. So it's free to play, but the Battle Pass is like what we're seeing in all these free to play games where, you know, they have an event, you pay $10 or whatever, and then you can unlock skins that you can only get for the length of that event. So I think Realm Royale actually is something to keep an eye on. It's A, because it's free to play.
Could be an
expected
thing.
And B, because it's from a reputable, a developer who's carved out a community.
Yeah, they have their niche.
Even if they are kind of, it's a slippery slope, I think, when you're just kind of just jumping on all these trends. But they do a decent job.
Definitely get a reputation.
I was hoping you could talk about the next one, because you're a Switch guy. I don't know anything about Octopath Traveler.
Yes.
I know nothing about
Absolutely.
It.
I played Octopath Traveler.
Did you?
Yeah. I played the demo a few months back. I really liked it.
What is it? I have no idea what it is.
Basically,
I thought it was like Snake Pass.
It's basically like old school Final Fantasy.
Okay. You know, is it made by Square?
Yes. Yeah. It's made by Square, and you know, it sort of has I think they have a special edition that comes with like a pop-up book, because the art style of the game is sort of like 2D sprites, sort of like Super Nintendo. I mean, imagine Super Nintendo set to a sort of 3D look.
I've literally only seen R. I have not seen a screen.
And it does sort of come off as like a pop-up book with 2D sprites appearance. Like that's sort of the hook of the game.
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It looks really nice. You know, and
it's a Switch exclusive, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. And yeah, I mean, from what I played, it was pretty good. I'm probably gonna pick it up at some point here. I'm not too into RPGs.
It does look kind of unique.
Yeah, it definitely has a unique style. I mean, I do, you know, I'm sort of nostalgic for the old school ways. So this is, you know, I mean, that's...
Do you think we'll see it come to other platforms? It seems like everybody's talking about it.
Yeah, I'll be shocked if it comes to another platform, yeah. Really. I mean, it seems to be Square Enix's love letter to the Switch. So I'm not really expecting it to come. I don't know if Nintendo chipped in some cash or...
What the heck happened to that studio? Do you remember, I think it was during the GameCube days, Nintendo was literally funding a Square studio? They developed Crystal Chronicles, remember?
Yeah.
Those guys have to be gone now.
What was that studio's name?
I have no idea. Nintendo was literally funding like a
I have to look
Square.
That up and include it in the corrections.
I wonder what happened to them. Because I know they made more than one game. I think they did, at least.
Yeah.
I remember Crystal Chronicles.
Yeah,
you
played it, right?
Oh, I think we played. You were in my house. We played it, I think.
It's the pail.
Carrying the bucket. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like you had to stay in like the bucket area.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
all I remember.
That's all I remember too, right? And it had like the purple clouds around you. Yeah. You kind of go out.
So Octopath Traveler, everybody's talking about it. If you own a Switch, it's
getting pretty good reviews. I mean,
I know Reset Era is all over it.
Yeah. Reset Era, of course, they're going to be all over it. I mean, come on. It's a okay RPG, so
my problem with most RPGs now is like I don't have the patience for them anymore.
Yeah, that's
too
kinda,
long for me.
That's kind of the thing.
I played The Witcher and I finished it, The Witcher 3, and like I don't know, like I don't want to say that it's not a good game because I know it is, but like I just felt like it dragged so long. Like I don't like I'm just more into multiplayer now. And
yeah. Yeah, you know, I've been playing Witcher 3 recently, too, and, it's been a little bit of a struggle, and it's unfortunate, because I love that
The universe is awesome.
Yeah, the universe is awesome.
The combat, though, I felt like it's like,
yeah,
it's
the combat,
clunky.
It's just not, yeah.
And I felt like there's just so much content, like, when there's that much content in a game, like, a lot of people praise it, and I get why.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I have a tendency now, at least.
Yeah.
Because, like, I didn't used to be this way when we were teenagers, but now I'll just get lost in it.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, I lose all my motivation because I'm no longer connected to the main storyline.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just doing all these side quests.
Yeah.
I'm saving, like, this musician, this yodeler,
this
city.
Exactly.
Like,
I
don't really care about
it. I picked up so many side missions, and that was one of the problems I had. I picked up so many side missions that I was like, wait, what am I doing?
Yeah,
what am I supposed
to do? You forgot what the main mission was.
Right. And I know it states it somewhere in there, but yeah, it's not good when you're old and busy.
So Captain Toad came to Switch. That's another one. I don't know what the heck Captain
Toad
is.
Yes, that's another one that I have played.
You own it?
I owned it when it released for the Wii U.
Is it a platformer?
No. It's a puzzle game.
That's even... I'm done.
Yeah, it's a puzzle game. It's sort of like a platformer puzzle game. I mean...
Is it single player?
Yeah.
Okay.
Imagine a platformer where you can't jump, and you have to solve the puzzles. You know, when you can't jump, and you gotta like move blocks, and
literally when I hear you describe this, like I can hear like I don't know Miyamoto or somebody sitting in a room with a development team in Japan. Going, what if we made, you know, we're going to take a Mario game. We're going to take Mario out and we're going to stick Toad. Well, what do you do in Mario games? You jump around. So we're going to make it so you can't jump. And we're also not going to have you fighting enemies. We're going to have you solving puzzles.
You know,
this flipped the whole thing on its head.
I had no idea this was releasing this week until I saw
it. On Switch, I think.
Yeah.
It came out on Wii U, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I owned it on Wii U. You know, and it does have some enhancements for Switch. And I'll be really interested to see how it works, because I remember Wii U, it had features that you had to like look down at the pad. Like the pad would give you sort of a different perspective, or you know, it had some sort of, and I can't remember what exactly it was. But you know, I mean, you had to use the pad in conjunction with the screen. So I'll be curious to see how they changed it for that. And I know they have added, you know, some new levels. They've repurposed some other levels. They you know, so if you bought it before, you can buy it again. I mean, I don't know if it's worth buying again, but
well, some people, if they're really big
fans. Yeah, I mean, if you didn't finish it, like I didn't finish it, so
that's the thing about the Wii U. I feel like is that, like, I looked at the Wii U as a platform. And I was totally not interested in it, but there were a lot of games which I'm glad are getting a second life on the Switch.
I know.
And I don't even own a Switch.
I know,
but like if I did, I know that I would be grateful to go back and be like, okay, I missed this game, but I can play it on my Switch now.
Yeah,
you know, like Wonderful 101 is one that came out on Wii.
Yeah.
I definitely wanted to play. I'm glad they released it on Switch.
Oh, yeah.
So it's coming to Switch.
Yeah, I think I remember that they just announced that was coming. Yeah, I mean, I've been really surprised and happy. I mean, really happy, because the Wii U did have a lot of good games.
I don't think anybody played them.
And nobody played them, yeah. And it did have, I mean, I had most of them.
Well, anywhere Nintendo goes, you know there's going to be good games, no matter
what. Oh, yeah. And, you know, I mean, obviously it helps the Switch because, you know, like we said, nobody played these except, you know, the real hardcore. And even them, you know, I mean, you probably didn't play all of them.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean,
because it was just a platform.
There's a very small handful that played maybe all of them. So I think it's good for Switch owners because, you know, you get a second chance. You get it portable. So if you liked it before, now you can take it with you. And, you know, I mean, the Switch's portability, it really can't be understated. I do love it. I haven't actually picked up my Switch in a while, though. But
maybe it can be overstated.
I got something else that's kind of portable and does gaming. So it's sort of been displaced a little bit. But, yeah, you know, I'm definitely going to get back to Switch with, you know,
Matt's going to be the guy that talks about Switch and every, because I don't own one.
Absolutely.
So he's going to have to be your Switch source.
Absolutely. I'm going to work on them, though. We're going to get them there.
So the last game I had that released this week is Islands of the Nine. Well, that's like early release game.
Yeah, I've never even heard of this.
So this, again, Battle Royale, one of my things. I'm a huge fan. So this is, it's Islands of the Nine. It's a Battle Royale. It has like a sci-fi theme to it. It's not like a military game or like a Fortnite cartoony game. It has like a futuristic sci-fi theme. And I think the most interesting thing about it is it's the development team is made up primarily of people who worked on Counter-Strike and Halo.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody was really focusing on this is going to be like fast, really good gunplay. And it's too early days to tell yet, but a lot of people are saying it's really, really good. And it might be able to carve out part of the Battle Royale market because you know, it's got some really talented developers.
Yeah, it's
behind
pretty good pedigree.
It's their first game, so we don't really know how it's going to go, but they've been working on it for quite a long time. And I think if they can nail the gunplay, because like we were talking about with Battle Royales, there's a lot of Battle Royales where, I mean, the games just don't perform well, or, you know, like the desync is off, and, you know, you're shooting at a guy and you're swearing the bullet should be hitting them, but they're not going. Or the performance is just bad. I was reading about a Battle Royale the other day that's promising 1,000 players per game. So you can just imagine that running at 5 frames per second. But if, you know, Islands of the Nine, if they can get it to perform well and if they can get some of the big streamers to play, I know like a few of them have been playing it, but play it regularly and really show off good gunplay and fun weapons, I think they might actually
succeed. Now, what time period does this sort of take place?
It's futuristic.
Futuristic.
It's totally, like, the concept is, your people, your player, your character, you've been abducted by this alien race, and they're dropping, you know, however many players there are, 99 or 100 or whatever, humans into this big arena to fight it out for survival. So the humans are the gladiators for this alien race in this experiment or whatever. But if you look up the gameplay, it's really smooth.
Yeah, it's definitely a gaming storyline.
Yeah. I mean, it's multiplayer, so there's no single player.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really need much story. But
yeah.
Okay, so that's all I found this coming week's, or the releases this week, or the ones worth mentioning, I guess. Hopefully we didn't miss anything too big. But this coming week, I was trying to look up the releases for this week. I didn't really see a whole lot here. I don't know what Sonic Mania Plus is. It's some type of Sonic game. Do you know what that one is?
Yeah, Sonic Mania Plus. I'm not entirely sure what the Plus adds. But I own Sonic Mania.
What's Sonic Mania?
Sonic Mania is a great... It's actually a new game. It's, you know, it's sort of like the Sonics of Sega Genesis era. You know, the golden era for Sonic. But
so it's 2D again?
Yes, it's 2D. It looks exactly like it did on Genesis. You know, maybe a little bit better, you know. But, yeah.
Is it made by Dan
Brilliant.
Hebert?
What's that?
Is it made by Dan Hebert of Whitney Point High School thing?
No. But it is made by somebody, if I remember right. It's made by a super fan, but it's not Dan Hebert.
It's not Sonic Team? Is Sonic Team even exist anymore?
You know, I don't
Yuji
know.
Naka's not at Sega.
Well,
right?
Who's making that new Sonic Racing game? That might be Sonic Team.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. But I know it's done by like a Sonic super fan. I think it's made outside of Sega. But it's, you know, it goes back to the old...
Is it on every platform?
It's on every platform. Goes back to, like, the golden era. And it's not, like, a remake of those games. It's sort of like a reimagining.
It's a new classic stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they're new levels, but they're
is
set...
Knuckles in it?
They're, like, in the
is
old
Knuckles
settings.
In it? That's all I need to know.
Yeah, Knuckles...
Okay.
Knuckles is in the multiplayer. I don't know if he's in the single
Do you remember back in the day, like... I think you had, for Sonic and Knuckles, didn't you have to buy, like, put two cartridges together?
Yes. Yep.
You had to put, to get Knuckles.
And I loved that.
To get
you
Knuckles
know, as
into
a kid,
the old Sonic game, you had to put two cartridges together.
Yeah. Yeah, you could get them into, I'm trying to remember if you could get them into Sonic 1. I don't think you could get into Sonic 1, but you could definitely get them into Sonic 3.
I used 3. To draw Knuckles all the time.
Yeah, he was my,
he was the coolest
he was the I used to have the comic books.
To no tails, nobody likes tails.
I still have a few of the comic books kicking around my collection.
Maybe we'll see a new Sonic Shuffle next.
But yeah, those were actually the first comic books I ever got. For Sonic.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah, and that was a really long, I think they just ended it. The comic book series, I think they just shut it all down. But, you know, they were going since I was a kid. So
well, they're doing that live-action movie now. So
yeah,
I'm sure
maybe they'll start it back up, yeah.
So other games I saw coming out this week, Pool Panic, no idea what that is. I'm assuming it's just a billiards game.
Yeah.
I guess there's a market for that.
It's got to be.
Adventure Time, Pirates of the Enchiridion. I tried looking up this game. I love Adventure Time. I don't actively watch it, but I think it's hilarious when I see it on TV. And I actually own like two of the games. The thing about every time they make a game, I have this problem. I see it. Like, they don't release like anything. Like, I couldn't find screens. I couldn't find gameplay footage. I could find like a cutscene trailer. So I have no idea what kind of game this is. And they're usually decent. They're not like garbage licensed games. They normally get like 7s and 8s in reviews.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Might be worth checking out. Might not be. I don't know. I think Adventure Time's hilarious. And then Tempest 4000. All I know about this game is that it's not made by Llama Soft, by Jeff Minter there. I saw that and I'm like, oh, this has got to be Jeff Minter. It wasn't. I can't even remember. Have you ever played a Tempest game?
Yeah, I played the original way back. I think I played it on the... Was it the Atari?
Must have been.
The original Atari?
Their arcade unit.
Yeah, I played it. I'm trying to remember. I can't. You know, yes, I definitely did play it on the Atari.
I sit here and I try to think of a way to, for people who are listening, when trying to describe to them like what Tempest is.
Yeah, okay. Tempest is definitely the hardest to explain without a picture.
I guess you could say it's a shooter.
Video.
It is a shooter.
Yeah.
It's an arcade style shooter.
Yeah.
I don't know what to compare it to. All I can think of at the moment is Space Giraffe, which nobody's going to know what that is. But look it up if you're into like, you know, beautiful colors and effects and like.
Maybe we can have a segment where we...
We'll do a whole description of
where,
Tempest.
Yeah, where we describe a game and we try to guess what it is.
That'd be awesome. Okay, so not a lot coming out this week, I don't think.
Because Tempest would be ideal.
You know what the weird thing?
Try and describe it and
it's been
guess what it is.
The weird thing about game releases now is I feel like a lot of games don't even get release dates until they're like all of a sudden they're just out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's not like back in the day where like you had a release date that was announced like a year in advance.
Well, yeah, but you know,
the big AAAs, you still get that.
Yeah.
But like, you know, a lot of multiplayer based games, you'll just hear from the developers, yeah, it's going to be out really soon. It's going to be out really soon. And then it's out. Like, they don't even tell you, like, oh, here you go. It's early access.
And I think that's a good thing, because I think what that points to is that, you know, they're more, developers are more aware that games have longer legs these days than they did back in the day. You know, back in the day, you know, like 60, 70, 80% of your sales probably came in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know,
yeah,
gone. You know, but now, I mean, you look at, I mean, we started off the show talking about Rainbow Six Siege.
Yeah.
That came out in 2015.
Yeah.
You know, 2015. It's going to be 4 years old shortly here. And so, you know, I mean, that, and I think that's a great thing for gamers, because I don't know about you, but I used to hate having to buy the new version of a game every year, and then you leave half of the user base behind, and it was, you know, just sucked.
Yeah,
you know. So I think, you know, games having longer legs is good for developers, good for gamers. Everybody wins.
It's funny because that leads right into our next segment, the "What Are You Playing" segment. Because as we're talking about games with long legs and stuff, all I'm playing right now this past week for me is like multiplayer games.
Yep.
And so for me, I play the Overwatch, which came out. It's a 2-year-old game now. Still pretty new, but well, by today's standards.
Yeah.
I play a ton of Overwatch, ton of PUBG, which isn't bad. It's still very new, but again, a game, we're talking about games with legs. World of Warcraft, I resubscribed to this week, so my life's probably over now. That's a 14-year-old game.
Oh, God.
There's a new expansion coming out next
month. Back on the train.
I had to tinker with it to see if I want to buy the new expansion.
Back on the train.
So, but I mean, that's the ultimate example of a game with legs. Here they are. You know, there's expansion packs that they charge for, but they get $15 a month. And they still have, 14 years later, they still have millions and millions of subscribers.
Like, unbelievable.
It is. And
it's all license to print money.
Yeah. And then I'm also, this is the game I really want to plug this week, is Quake Champions. So Quake Champions is free to play. You can download it for PC now. It's only for PC. It probably won't come to anything else, because Quake is such a fast twitch game. Playing it with a controller would be like, I was going to use that old Sean Baby joke, but it's probably not appropriate. But Quake Champions, it takes the old Quake formula and it kind of gives it like the hero shooter genre. So you get to pick like a hero or a class, you know, to play. There's like, I don't know, a dozen or so different heroes with different abilities. And it's really, really good. What I like about it is a lot of shooters have become so complex. There's so much to understand, and the meta is constantly changing. You know, this gun's good. Now this character's good. And I just named games that I play that are like that.
Yeah.
But Quake Champions is so simple. It harkens back to that time where, you know, when you fight somebody, the person who aims the best and the person who moves, utilizes, you know, a level
so
the best.
So skill. It's skill above.
And it's just simple, though. Like, it's not like, you know, the matches take, like, 8 minutes.
Yeah.
There's no, like, when you die second in a battle royale, you know, you get mad because you're like, I just wasted 40 minutes, or like, that guy totally outplayed me. Like, when you play Quake, you die and you're back in 2 seconds and you have a chance to redeem yourself, you know. So like, it's just that, it's that classic arena style, and it's free, and you can just hop in for a couple games and just, you know, give some people and have some fun with it. So
yeah, but here's the really important question. Is the announcer still in it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He is.
Okay, good.
He is.
Good. You can't have a Quake game without the Quake announcer. So, does he still say headshot and everything?
What have I heard so far? I've heard, like, you know, double kill, impressive. I don't know. I've heard a bunch of stuff. But, yeah, the announcer is definitely still there. Definitely the same guy or same
good
voice effect
good
or whatever. What are you playing anyway? What are you playing?
Yeah, you know, I've been dabbling in some retro gaming too. You know, I've been playing a lot of Halo Wars 2 for some reason. I've been playing a lot of, I played a little bit of Witcher 3.
You played Halo Wars 2 multiplayer?
Yes.
You played the multiplayer?
Yep.
Did a lot of people play it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty remarkable, actually. I mean, I have no trouble getting into matches at any hour of the day. You know, I come down early in the morning, plop myself down, and I get right into
games.
That's
one of those games that I wanted to play, but I couldn't find the patience for. Like, I love the Halo universe, and I know... Like, I heard especially the Awakening of the Nightmare Flood DLC told a really good story.
Yeah.
But it's like, at the time, I couldn't...
You know, I gotta confess, I played probably 80 hours of the game, and I still haven't finished the single-player campaign.
No?
I haven't been too impressed with it.
Well, that's why Call of Duty doesn't have one anymore.
You know, I blew right through the first game, the Halo Wars 1. I flew through that. That had a pretty good single-player. Halo Wars 2, not so much far.
You know, as we keep talking about single-player games, I keep seeing this trend with single-player games, and I guess it's necessary because they're trying to compete with multiplayer games that can give you hundreds of hours, thousands of hours of value.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're talking about single-player games that have so much content that you get lost. For me, I actually prefer, I'd rather play like a four-hour really good campaign I can stick with it and finish it.
Yeah.
And I know people get upset. They'll be like, oh, it's only 4 hours. It's not worth the money. But like when I played a game like Horizon, which took me like 20 or 30 hours on PS4, it just felt like it slogged on. And there were a lot of really great things about that game. I don't want to put it down too much. But if it had been like an 8-hour action-packed, more linear experience, I personally would have enjoyed it a lot more. And it sounds like Halo Wars might be the same.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking while you were saying that, I was just wondering, I wonder what metrics they use to decide, okay, this game's going to be 4 hours, 8 hours, 12 hours. You know, like, how do they determine that? Or do they just set up a story and then, you know, however long it ends up, that's how long the game is? I do wonder. Someday if this show, lasts that long, gets that big, we'll have to ask them what's their process.
Because I know, like when you're writing a story in general, you're supposed to have like a first act, a middle act, and a third act in general.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Obviously, the budget looms large. You know, I mean, that's everything. Really.
But I could see it being because these developers are trying to, you know, they know. They're selling it. If it's solely single player, like a game like The Witcher or something, they need to give you enough as much value, you know, as PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds or Counter-Strike, which they know people are going to play for thousands of hours. So I think maybe a lot of them are just coming at it from that perspective. And I don't think Halo Wars is in that same, but it applies because your comment about, you know, you haven't made it through yet, you kind of... slow down with it.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, I dabbled a little bit in Witcher 3. I just started Company of Heroes 2, which is another.
Is that a World War II game?
Yes, World War II RTS.
Is it an RTS?
Yes, and it's made by Relic, who is also
make Warhammer.
Yes. In fact, if you've played Warhammer Dawn of War, you're you know, you can pretty much hop in. I mean, there are differences, at least from the Warhammer games I've played. But you know, when you see the menu bars and everything, you know, it's 100% Relic. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
It's, you know, like if you've played the Warhammer games, you're gonna know. Yeah, the UI, you're gonna know what you're looking at when you play Company of Heroes 2. I can't really give an opinion one way or the other on the game because, like I say, I played maybe two matches. It was pretty good though. It got great ratings.
Does that have a single player?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, I started off in the multiplayer for some reason. And I guess that's all I have access to, you know, because it's been kicking around in my Steam account
with 1,000
since like it launched or something, you know. It says I own it. Steam won't let me buy the game, which is odd because when I open the game, it clearly says purchase the game, you know, like I don't own the game, but Steam won't let me buy it unless I open the game and then go back into Steam through the game to buy the game. So, you know, I mean, they do let you play the multiplayer, I guess. Maybe the multiplayer has sort of gone free to play at some point. So I just figured I'd give it a go before I bought it. But I did have an itch to play some, you know, World War II strategy. And we'll see. And Rocket League. That's the other.
Oh yeah.
That's the other one I've dived into quite a bit this last week. Still doing good. Rocket League's alive and well. And
see, you know, I wondered about that game, and maybe you can share some insight. Like, I know you and I got it when it first came out for Xbox.
Yeah.
And we were loving it. Has the community got, like, a lot better? Or is it still basically the same kind of, like, just crazy chaos, free-for-all? Has the barrier to entry, like...
No, risen? And I was actually surprised by this, is that my first thought on that was that the level of competition actually went down.
Really?
From what I remember. You know, maybe through osmosis I got better at the game. I don't know. But I found the competition to be pretty easy, actually. And then I found out that, you know, it did get added to Game Pass.
That's probably why. There's a lot of new players.
Yeah, and I imagine that maybe there's just a lot of new players. And you know, through sales of the game and everything else, you know, that it's expanded to the point where they can match you with people you should more likely be matched up against. So that's what I think is more what's going on is, you know, they just have more people to match you with that, you know.
So if you're sitting at home and you want to play, you shouldn't be scared that all the pros.
Yeah,
because there's this whole esports scene.
Well, yeah, and I think when we played it, you know, it had just launched, so the really good players didn't have a chance to really pull away in the rankings.
Yeah.
So we got stuck playing a few of them.
Yeah. I remember seeing people.
I think
make
that
those
problem's been alleviated.
Where they'd like literally like fly across like half the arena.
Yeah.
I could never do that.
See, and that's the thing. It's like when I don't think I saw maybe one guy that was able to do that stuff. But other than that, like there was nobody launching themselves across the map and knocking the ball in like they used to. So, I think that's the game's gotten better for sure in that way.
Good. Anything else you play? Do you still play Siege? Do you play Siege at all this week?
No, you know, I didn't. Ever since, it's funny, I bought.
You're still playing it, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I still play it, but I everything goes in cycles.
Yeah.
I mean, I put in over 300 hours, I think, now into that game. And I just bought Season 3, which is funny because Season 3 is the season I played the least of.
You support the developers.
Yeah, I figured because you can buy it. You can unlock the characters through in-game currency, you know, just playing it and, you know. But I figured with Season 3, since I had already spent 250 hours in the game, you know, it'd probably be worth it to kick the developers an extra $20, $30, whatever it was. And, Season 3's been a little rocky for me. You know, it's funny. I liked how it started. I liked the they had sort of their own zombie mode.
I saw that
at the start of Season 3, but it was a limited time thing, and then it went away. Don't know why they did that.
Lots of developers do that.
That's very bizarre to me because
it does seem weird to design.
It was kind
content.
Of cool mode. I don't know why.
A lot of developers do it now, it always boggles my mind a little bit
because they put in all that work.
Yeah,
man,
they
just leave it there.
I think it's. Because they want to attract people to the game at a specific time.
Could be.
And for whatever
and then,
reason.
And then at the
whether
launch,
it's to boost their numbers at the end of their quarter or
maybe.
Whatever. You know, because, like, I remember when Fortnite did that Thanos event. That was, like, crazy. Like, you could play as Thanos in Fortnite and jump around. And Avengers 4 had just come out. Or 3? Not 4. I don't even know what number we're on.
Yeah.
But they only kept it around for, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And, like, I just wondered that. Like, you guys put all this effort in to make this really cool mode, and then it's gone.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I missed the mode, and, you know, once that went away, I went away. And,
yeah.
I mean, I came back. They just launched a couple new agents, operators, they call them. And I came back, and I tried them out. They were okay. And then, I left, and I played those other games that we just talked about. You know, I'll get back to it eventually.
So for our last, we have a throwback suggestion segment here. Just a game that we can recommend for people. It's either free or, you know, cheap that maybe a lot of people haven't heard about. It's not one of the big, you know, games. It's not a hot topic maybe. For me, I already named mine, I think. I didn't plan this out. But for me, it's Quake Champions. It's free to play. If you're looking for something to play, it's just simple. Like I said, it harkens back to the old days. just shooting each other, blowing each other up. For me, that's it. If you've got a PC that can run it, try it out. There's no level to entry, and there's all these weird things about Quake that I didn't know that I find myself listening to YouTube videos to learn. Like when you jump, if you spin to the side while you jump, you go further, so you can make all these crazy jumps. There's all these little like weird. Oh.
Yeah,
you know, it's like how games were back a long time ago.
Yeah,
you know, like
yeah,
all these little tricks that like the Quake veterans. I mean, they're just—it's all inherent to them, and they're godly and whatever. But it's just fun. It's just—it's simple and it's out there. And I don't think a lot of people are playing it yet, but people should be playing it. So that's my—it's not a throwback, but it's a game that I think more people should be playing and can play if they're looking for something to play right now. I don't know if you have anything that comes to mind.
Yeah, you know, the only thing that comes to mind is E.T. for the Atari, but most of them are buried out in the desert. So
good luck finding that one.
So if you want to play that game, go take a round in the Arizona desert. I think they did end up finding them.
Did they really bury them in the desert?
Yes, they really buried them, and they really found them. They found them again.
Why did they bury them? Because it was so bad?
Yes, because they had so many left over.
Well, that's also our first Did You Know segment.
Yes, that's probably going to be our first Did You Know segment.
We'll have to have a correction corner about what desert they're actually burying. Yeah.
So, yeah, look forward to that. That'll probably be our first Did You Know story coming soon. It's a pretty long story, I think.
Probably.
So I could probably dedicate a whole freaking show to that.
So as far as things coming this week, maybe it'll be in the next episode. I think Comic-Con is this week. I'm kind of hoping that some developers, I know there's some developers coming to Comic-Con, and I know this has kind of been the strategy, is to, instead of like, you know, blowing everything you got at E3, they're trying to spread their announcements out throughout the year, just because, you know, so many games get overshadowed at E3.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of hoping that some developers, like one of the games that was a no-show at E3 was, I think Certain Affinity is the developer. Square Enix is an Avengers game. Everybody keeps saying it's Destiny, you know, in the Marvel universe. It's that type of game, and everybody was expecting to see it. They didn't see it. Same thing with Superman. Everybody kept hyping up Rocksteady Superman game at E3, saying it was going to be revealed on Sony's stage or Microsoft stage, and both
Destiny
of them were no-shows.
In the Avengers universe. Wow, that's going to be.
It could. I mean, the Avengers is the property, right?
Is it going to be first person? Is that
no? I'm kind of envisioning it as a third person, like Marvel Heroes style game, but
yeah,
open.
Did you play that Marvel Heroes? I played
a long time
ago. Yeah, I played it more than I thought I'd play it. Not that much, but yeah, I mean, if this was a better version of that, that would be greatly appreciated.
I mean, Square Enix have been doing pretty good the last few years with quality.
Yeah.
And I think Certain Affinity, I can't tell you what they've made off the top of my head, but I recognize the name. I think that's the developer. Hopefully that's not a corrections corner.
Do they do Tomb Raider?
That's Crystal Dynamics. Yeah. Right. But I think they've been working on it for a long time. So I think, and Rocksteady, I mean, Rocksteady's been working on a new game forever. So whatever they unveil next is going to be a big
deal. Oh, yeah.
And Comic-Con would make perfect sense to unveil one or
both
at Comic-Con.
That's going to be a big deal.
And DC could definitely use some good news.
Yeah.
A Rocksteady, you know, Superman game could generate some goodwill. And then, you know, I'm sure, you know, Avengers will definitely be talked about a lot at Comic-Con. So maybe it makes sense to unveil the video game. Not a promise. We don't know. I'm speculating. But
did you see that they've already moved because they're gonna get the X-Men franchise back for the movies? So they've already moved. They had these knockoff X-Men called the Inhumans. They made a show.
And it was terrible.
That was a legendary bomb.
Yeah. What's his name from Game of Thrones played one of the characters.
Oh, really?
The Ramsey.
Yeah.
He's one of the Inhumans.
Well, so Marvel, since they didn't have the X-Men license for the movies, they moved to try and make the Inhumans like the new X-Men.
Yeah.
And they tried to downplay the X-Men at every turn. Like the comic books, they killed off like all the main characters in the X-Men. And you know, so they did everything they could to make the Inhumans more popular and the X-Men less popular.
Yeah.
And now that it looks like, you know, Disney's going to finally win the rights back by buying Fox, Yeah, they've already, in the comic books, they've already started a storyline called The Death of the Inhumans. You know, it's like, this can't be coincidence, you know, and it's the same thing with Spider-Man, too. You know, like, when they didn't have the movie franchise, he wasn't quite a big deal, but now they do, you know, same thing. So, it's always fun to watch that, because they'll always deny that's the case.
They're trying to play up this.
But it's like, well, that's quite a coincidence.
Well, the movies print money, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When you think about it, too, when you think about what Marvel and DC more recently, but when Marvel first started down this path, you had this company who, you know, for all intents and purposes, had basically failed everything they had tried to do outside of comics. They had tried to do TV shows. They tried to do a couple movies and stuff. They didn't go very well. The amount of money that they poured into these movies, you know, with the budgets, with the hiring the biggest name actors and actresses and all the CG and everything.
Yeah.
It was really a huge risk when they started out back with the first Iron Man.
Building this universe. Yeah, absolutely.
Putting so much money into these movies. And it has, I mean, I'm not a Marvel fanboy by any means, but they talk about risk reward. They've nailed it.
And, you know, I consider Iron Man to be the best Marvel movie still.
It is really good.
It is really good. It's aged well.
Yeah.
And, you know, the importance of it is why, because, I mean, if that movie bombed, there would be none of this. Probably be none of this. And, I mean, more to the point, not only did it not bomb, but it created sort of the spirit through which everything else, like, all the Marvel movies have that same Iron Man 1 sense of humor. You know, like, where they don't take themselves too serious.
Until Guardians of the Galaxy, they basically didn't change their formula at all.
Yeah.
They stuck to it all.
Yeah.
Maybe the first two Thor movies took their own formula.
Yeah.
We're getting off topic, though.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll wrap this up.
Yeah. So that's what you're going to hear from us every single week. We're going to probably conceptualize some new segments as we go.
Absolutely.
We're going to just talk about the gaming news every week and latest releases and big news. And hopefully we get some big news to keep driving us. There's always something to talk about in the gaming industry.
Yep.
Hope to keep going with this and hear from people. And we'll listen to this, see if our audio quality is complete.
Yeah, how many times we've tapped on the table or slurped on my soda.
And hear Cowboy, my dog, walking around.
Panning. Yeah.
So that's it.
Episode zero is
God
a wrap.
Mode unlocked, signing off.
Episode zero.